Continue to build your foundation on Jesus. Continue to do those things in the state of encouragement or a state of discouragement. Continue to be in God's word as he comes and his Holy Spirit just overwhelms you to the place where you're like, Lord, man, thank you. But understand, brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual battle. The enemy, regardless of your age in here, the enemy wants to shipwreck your faith. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of In Christ, as we continue in our Hope Restored series. Last time, we finished Nehemiah chapter 4, and we watched the people face ridicule, threats, fear, and discouragement. Yet through it all, one thing never changed. They kept building. Today's message is titled, Building and Battling Go Hand in Hand. Nehemiah understood a truth that every believer eventually learns. If you're building something for the glory of God, you'll also be engaged in a spiritual battle. The answer isn't to choose one or the other. We are called to do both. The builders worked with determination while remaining spiritually alert. They refused to let discouragement become an excuse for disobedience. They trusted God, supported one another, and stayed faithful until the work was finished. Every Christian is called to build God's kingdom while standing firm in spiritual warfare. One of the enemy's greatest victories is convincing believers to quit. One of God's greatest victories is producing perseverance that keeps building despite the battle. Today, we can ask ourselves, has discouragement convinced you to stop serving, stop praying, or stop trusting God? What would it look like to pick up your tools again and continue the work he has called you to do? Today's lesson concludes chapter 4 of Nehemiah with verses 15 through 23 in the title, Building and Battling Go Hand in Hand. Here's Pastor Ben.
Church, we fall short of our dreams and our aspirations, or perhaps we beat ourselves up by doing and saying things that we later regret and we're discouraged. We have lots of sources that are discouragement. But let me give you the correct answer. The answer is Satan. You go, oh yeah, for sure. Captain Obvious. Why? None of the above factors have in themselves the power to discourage. Others have encountered equal or worse problems than you, but have not become discouraged by them. Discouragement, church, is a key weapon of Satan's arsenal. You go, how so? How so? Think back the last time you were discouraged. Think back. What great work did you accomplish when you were discouraged? What difficulty did you defeat? How was your marriage improved? How was your relationship with your kids strengthened? How was your relationship with God strengthened? You know the answer? Nothing good occurred while discouraged, and Satan knows this. So what do you think he does? Discouragement, this is the word of God. Discouragement to us is the mental paralysis. Satan knows that a discouraged man is not a man who will accomplish great things. That's the source. You go, Ben, what is the causes of discouragement? By way of reminder, first and foremost, it's fatigue. That's the cause of discouragement. And Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. You go, what does that mean? In other words, they say they are worn out and tired. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of things that wear us out and tire us. You go, amen. But it should never, ever tire us in the place where we come to fellowship and be in God's word. I understand there's a lot of things, but when it comes to God's word, when it comes to worship, when it comes to your fellowship, you go, why? Listen to me. Every one of you has been given a beautiful gift to use within the body of Christ. And when you're not here, that gift isn't here. You go, no, what do you mean? It could be as simple as a smile. It could be as simple as a high five, a hug. It could be any of these things, but these gifts are used to encourage the body of Christ. And it's not the pastor behind the pulpit. It's the body of Christ doing what it's supposed to do. And so get your rest. Get your rest. Where do you think the enemy wants to come at you? Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. I'm tired. Oh, it's been, you know, when is it, Eva, when does the enemy attack? Saturday night, right? You're tossing and turning, fighting with the blankets. And then you finally get to sleep and it's 5 a.m. and that's exactly what the enemy does. We got to get our rest. The second thing, cause of discouragement, is focus. They were focused on the rubbish. They were focused on the discouragement. You know what? They're like, look what, look, there's only, the walls are only half built. We're never going to get this done. Man. Number three, fortitude. We talked about fortitude. You go, what's that? Misplaced confidence. When you lose your strength and your focus, the next thing to go is confidence. Hey, you ready to go, guys? Nah, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. And last but not least, you've heard this, it's fear. And fear has a way of crippling us. Fear happens when we're focusing on the threats of the enemy. Unfortunately, we do not emerge from periods of discouragement unscathed. Discouragement can hurt us, and sometimes it permanently scars us. So know the source, know the causes, but let's learn how to deal with it. How to deal with discouragement. Discouragement doesn't have to be a commonplace in our lives. You go, amen. We can defeat it, amen, but it requires a plan of attack. Here are some suggestions in dealing and defeating encouragement. Number one, jot this down, unity among the people. Unity in our church, locking arms hand in hand. Nehemiah chapter 4 and 13 says this, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening. And I set people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. You go, Ben, what did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do? He brought the people together in family groups so that they would be working together as families. And he placed them in strategic spots along the wall that they're building. What did he do? He got the people together. He said, listen, every one of us in this church has gone through something and we need to uplift and be encouraging to other people, not tearing them down. We're not going to be the guys behind the wall going, this is never going to work. I don't know what you're doing. You need to go, no, I've got your back. This is what he's saying. There needs to be unity among the people. We should be believers that encourage. Come on, man, let me lift you up. How you doing? When you ask, Matt, how are you doing? I'm doing great. No. How are you really doing, bro? I want to encourage you. You're an encouragement to me, Matt. You're Brielle. You're an encouragement to me. You guys are here. You're like an anomaly, man. And just encourage him to keep it going. Why? You don't understand. He gets attacked. He gets discouraged. There's all the stuff going on in his life. But where is he? He's in church. He's trying to lead. You understand the illustration. No, man, you don't need to be discouraged. If you just read the Bible like I do, you'd be like me. That's not encouraging at all. Why? Every one of us have been different places. Every one of us discouraged at one point to encourage others. You can do it, brother. You can do it. Amen. Unity among the people. Unity in our church. Holding hands. Doing life together. I expected a bigger amen there. I don't know why, but come on. Amen. The second thing, guys, the second way to deal with discouragement is Nehemiah redirected their attention back to the Lord. Nehemiah 4 and 14 says, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You see, the problem is that they were focused on the rubbish, and that's all they could see. And I can testify to that. There are times in my life that all I ever focused was on the rubbish. Church, will you do me a favor? Would you pray to start seeing people the way God sees them and not the way you see them? What does God want to do with people? What does God want to do with you? See a man victorious, walking in Jesus. The problem was, is all they could see was the rubbish. All they could see was the rubbish. You know what they failed to see, guys? The wall was already half done. Here's the application. There are times that we need to do the same thing. You go, what's that? Get our eyes off the rubbish that surrounds us. Get your eyes back on God. Remember those times when you realize who He is and how great He is. Our God created the world. He hung the stars and the moon in space, and He gave us breath of life. And this same God promised to watch over and care for us all the days of our life. Listen to me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He has all of these promises. So my encouragement to you, if you're in a state of discouragement, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what he's saying. Nehemiah said, guys, get your eyes off the wall. Look at the Lord. And then he reminded them, number three, what they were fighting for. Nehemiah says, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And we need to fight for our families. And listen to me, get rid of whatever is threatening that family. Get rid of it. As we come to the fourth, this is where we pick up our study. We see that building and battling go hand in hand. Building and battling, picking it up in verse 15, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, and all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. You know what you can put here? Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, right? This is exactly, it's like God already showed up. God showed up, and it was when the enemy's like, are you serious? It was known to us that God had brought them. And so it was from that time, verse 16, he says that half of my servants work at the construction while the other half held spears. The shields, the bows, who wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Guys, this is a great verse. This is 16. You have half working and the other half protecting. Half working, the other half protecting. Those who built the wall, verse 17, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked the construction and with the other they held the weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded on his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. You go, Ben, how does this work spiritually? Man, this is going to get good. Why? Because we can sum up these verses with two words. You had the sword and the trowel. The sword and the trowel. You go, what's our sword? What's our sword? Guys, this is the sword. This is the sword that we need to keep with us at all times. This is the sword that keeps us from discouragement. This is the sword right here. Okay, so as we're building lives, as we're building what God wants us to do, as we're living victorious, we want to keep this with us. We want to keep this with us. And so that's going to help us. Listen, this is how we can defeat discouragement. Realize that we're in a battle as we build. Realize that God will bring nothing to plot and plans of our enemies. That's the first thing. The second thing is continue to build your lives on the foundation of Jesus, and then really understand you're in a battle. You're in a spiritual battle. Those are so important. Why? You have to realize that we're in a battle as we build. Think about this. They had their trowel, they had their sword, they're working, and they're going, okay, right now, they don't have the security they need, but we're going to get this wall up so that we're going to be safe as we worship. And this is what they're doing. The key word is continue. Continue to build your foundation on Jesus. Continue to do those things in the state of encouragement or a state of discouragement. Continue to be in God's word as He comes and His Holy Spirit just overwhelms you to the place where you're like, Lord, man, thank you. But understand, brothers and sisters, we're in a spiritual battle. The enemy, regardless of your age in here, the enemy wants to shipwreck your faith. He doesn't want you to be a light in the world. He doesn't want you to speak words of encouragement. He doesn't want, hey, Brother Jesse, how you doing? Oh, I don't know. Man, life is hard. It really, really stinks, man. Yeah, man, I hung out with Brother Jesse the other day, and man, I was just even more discouraged hanging out with him. Yeah, the enemy has shipwrecked his faith. I'm using that hypothetically. He hasn't because he's over there, but I'm just letting you know that's... Somebody's going to go, really? No. But it can. You go, Ben, what should I do? Always have somebody to talk to. When I get discouraged, guys, when I get to the point, this is the honest truth, I'll call up Soph. Soph, can we have coffee? Yeah, man, I'll meet you there. And he prays for me, and he loves on me. We're just simple guys here. We're just simple guys. And we get discouraged, and I'll call him up, and we'll have coffee. You got to have somebody like that. Just to share your heart. Oh, I'm not going to tell Soph everything because then he'll go tell Soph. Now find somebody who you really trust and say, hey, here's where I'm struggling. What do I do? Sometimes Soph goes, let's pray. And so what else is he going to do? He's going to what? Turn your focus back to the Lord. And this is what I have. And there are times when that happens. Now, if you see me and Soph having coffee, don't be like, oh yeah, Ben's discouraged again. That's not what it happens all the time, okay? Just every now and then. But the fifth thing we see is that they have a rallying point. They do, yeah. Notice, Nehemiah says, we need to rally together. Guys, look at verse 19 in your Bibles. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people. What, Nehemiah? Come on, tell me. The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Wow. We need a rallying place that we can come with our worries and our cares to be strengthened again. We need to get together and encourage one another. And that is the task of the church. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, I understand we're 2025 and we're meeting in a storefront, but it used to be back in the day, before my day, but there used to be the bells in the church. Do you remember that? And when they rang the bell, that was the trumpet. Church, it's time to come to church with all of your mess ups and all of your insecurities and all of that. Why? Because that's the rallying place. And the purpose of the church was to come together and encourage one another. He said, Nehemiah said, join us. Join us there. God will fight our battle. It's okay to come to church and see a Ron and say, hey, Ron, do you mind praying for me? It's okay to come to church and see a Mike O'Reilly and pull him aside and say, would you pray for me? Or any sister or brother. That's what this is about. It's not enough for us to come and go, yeah, I heard a good teaching. Pastor was funny. No, it's like we're coming here because, man, I need this. I need this. We need church, but not to come in a building, but to be the church. We need retreats. We need conferences. When the women have a conference, the women should come together and lift each other up. All of these things are the rally, the call. The rallying point, come on. This is where we're missing it. This is where we're blowing it. And we come in and we go, well, I'm going to sit on this side of the church, or I'm going to sit over here. No, let's all get together. How you doing? How's it going? You doing all right? Nah, a little struggling today. Well, I can pray for you, man. You don't have to tell me. God knows. Amen. We need a rallying point is what he's saying, verse 19 and 20. And then number six, let me give you 6 points. Remember, we must help one another. Look at verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half the men held their spears from daybreak till the sun stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay the night in Jerusalem, that he may be our guard by night and working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except everyone took them off for washing. You go, what was that? You have to remember we're here to help one another. You're here to help. Nehemiah realized the task was so great that he needed everyone working together. He needed everyone helping each other. And that's still true today. I'm often concerned of the person who comes to church and as soon as it's over, they fly out the door. We don't get a chance to minister to them or to love on them. That's not what we want. We want to say, man, we're here to help. When someone comes to you and goes, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, you look them in the eye and say, how can we help you? What can we do? We will do whatever we can do. And this is why God had put that such a burden on my heart. Because what can we do? We can sit here. Oh, wait. All the benefits and people aren't getting, and we have lots of families out there with kids that are not going to eat. Well, we'll pray for you. No, we're going to pray, but we're going to do what we can and get you food. At least your kid will have cereal and they'll have beans and they'll have these things because that's the heart of the church. That's the heart of the church. The task is great and it needs every one of us, every one of us to step up. And our goal today is to ask somebody, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? What do you need? We don't have to sit here and air out all our dirty, well, let's see, pray for this. Just, yeah, you mind praying for me? You mind praying for me? Life can get discouraging. Life can get discouraging. Let me close with this. First, recognize that all of us have discouragement. You go, amen, Ben. And you're not the only one with problems. When we get caught in the Elijah syndrome, we're in serious problems. We're in serious trouble. Others have reason to be discouraged. They face many similar struggles we do. Perhaps people even more, yet manage to keep themselves on track. How? Well, this should be motivation for us. You go, what's that? We must utilize the pain, the heartache, the suffering, the failure. Those things can produce some positive results. You go, what is that? Whenever we're in this situation, guys, it often makes us sensitive to our sin. Psalm 32:4. Number two, it reminds us of our position. Number three, it redefines and strengthens our character. Number four, it makes us more appreciative of God's grace. And number five, it enables us to help and comfort others. All the stuff you've gone through will help you. All the scriptures are on there. You can take a picture, look them up for reference and for encouragement. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come and just learn from you and grow from you. Father, I know it was a lesson on discouragement, God, but I know you have given us the source, Lord, and the cause of discouragement and how to handle it. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Oh, Lord, that song is just burning through my heart. To turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his mercy and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. We thank you for your great love tonight. We bless your holy name. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, we'll discover that not every threat comes from outside the walls. In Nehemiah chapter 5, the enemy exploits problems from within God's own community. We'll learn that lasting restoration requires not only rebuilding walls, but also restoring justice, compassion, and unity among God's people. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.